This morning's scripture reading is from Galatians 4, verse 8 to 20. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you're turning back to those weak and miserable forces? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I fear for you that somehow I have wasted my efforts on you. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where, then, is your blessing of me now? I can testify that, if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us, so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I'm with you. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you.
Thank you, Elisa. It's not very often that a pastor gets up to preach, and it's 12 o'clock. So I think what I'm going to do this morning is, if you do have somewhere to go, feel free to leave right now or in 5 minutes when you need to. If that's what you need to do, we understand that some of you have things that you are required to be at and places you need to be. Some of you are staying here for lunch with us, and so that's not a bad thing either. I think Salman might as well just turn off my PowerPoint. I have a half-hour sermon that I'm not going to preach this morning. What I want to do this morning is I want to share just one kind of important thought, this one weird, uncomfortable, memorable thought. You see, Paul, in this letter to Galatians, is over and over again trying to bring home this reality that the just live by faith. It's not by obedience to any kind of set of rules, whether it's a returning to the rules that govern Moses and the people of Israel for thousands of years, or whether it's a whole new set of rules that somebody else has made up that they're trying to impose on you, or even just a whole new set of rules that you have in your own brain. That's just not what this life is all about. And so Paul has these stunning images that he uses over and over again in the book of Galatians. It's just incredible, some of the images. Paul is like this verbal Picasso, painting these stark, crazy images to try and bring this message home. Galatians 1, he says there's two gospels. When you start adding law to the gospel of grace, you're not just adding to that gospel, you're actually creating a second gospel. It's an amazing image, a crazy word picture. In Galatians 2, he talks about gospel spies, and I grew up reading Spy versus Spy in the Mad comic magazines. Any of you read those? You know, the guys with the beaks, one's black and one's white. That's what he's saying, is that these people are coming into your church with this message, and you think that they're on your side, but they aren't. They're spies in your midst. That's a powerful image. Galatians 2 also talks about rebuilding a wall that you've just knocked down. And I love that image. I can just picture in my mind some guy taking a sledgehammer to a wall, spending half the morning, all morning, knocking down that wall, all sweaty, taking a break for lunch, and then after lunch, going back to that exact same spot, using the exact same materials to rebuild the exact same wall. He'd be like, there was nothing wrong. What are you doing? It's a crazy image. Galatians chapter 3 has a crazy image. He says, what magician has cast a spell on you that you think that you can add to what Christ has already done for you? How bewitched must you be? And there's this image of this magician, the man they call Ravine, you know, that guy hypnotizing a whole crowd and making them think things and do things that don't reflect Christ at all. And so Paul has this image after image. And as we've been going through the book of Galatians, we've been doing the same thing, right? There's been image after image after image, whether it's Chad pulling lint out of his pockets to show you how you can't pay for the movie theater with lint from your pockets, whether it's Pastor Darren coming out with chains on to remind us of that return to slavery, whether it's Pastor Nick drinking coffee with motor oil in it. There's been illustration after illustration after illustration. But this morning, I want to share with you the absolute craziest, most awkward kind of illustration of all. And it's found in Galatians chapter 4. And I'm just going to read to you the last little bit of what Elisa already read to you. This passage is all about Paul's heart. And Pastor Darren preached about that a little bit last week, about how the pastor's worst fear is that his work of leading people to Christ would amount to nothing. That having led them to Christ, they would turn around and walk away from Christ. And this is what Paul is going through. This whole passage is intensely personal. It's deep. At one point, he calls them my dear children. And it's actually the only time Paul ever calls up until then, he's called them my brothers and sisters in Christ. But all of a sudden, he says, my dear children, my heart is breaking for the fact that you guys think that somehow obeying a list of rules is going to add to your salvation. My dear children, he says. You see Paul's heart there? It's actually the first time Paul ever says it. The Apostle John, oh, he's the softy, right? He's saying, my dear children, in the letters of John all over the place. But Paul, this is that moment where, as a pastor, his heart is breaking that his churches will be walking away from Jesus and turning back to rules. Verse 19. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labor pains for you. Now, do me a favor here. If you've ever gone through labor, if you've ever delivered a child, if you've ever had that experience, can you stand up for a moment? If you've ever gone through labor or if you've ever delivered a child, like, can you stand up for a moment? Thank you. Mostly women. I'm the only guy standing. Go ahead, stay standing for just a second. Wow. I've watched a woman in labor 4 times. Same woman. 4 different labors, thought I needed to qualify that one. It's painful to watch, but it's beautiful, and it's miraculous, and man, you ladies are heroes in my book. Next week is Mother's Day, and we're gonna take a moment to just honor you a bit on Mother's Day, but I just want to say thank you, and go ahead and be seated. I mean, really, all of us are here today physically because someone was willing to go through that excruciating pain of labor in order to bring us into this world. How many of you now are imagining the Apostle Paul, 9 months pregnant, with his water broken all over the floor, sweat all over his face, fully dilated, feet in the stirrups, and the doctor yelling, push, push, push. How many of you are imagining Paul doing that? That's the image that he's creating here. It's crazy. There's an intensity of pain that he is feeling at the Galatians' legalistic approach to salvation that he's saying is as bad as labor pain. And some of you are going to yourself, okay, yeah, that is a memorable, awkward image. But here's the thing. That's not actually the crazy image that I want to share with you this morning. The image that I'm talking about comes next. And it's not about Paul and the Galatians church. It's about you and me and Jesus. And it is a crazy image. Are you ready for it? Here it comes, verse 19. They will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. I wish I were there with you right now so that I could be more gentle with you. But at this distance, frankly, I don't know what else to do. This is so heavy on my heart, Paul says, that I feel like a woman in labor. Why? Because all that I want is for Christ to be formed in you. A number of years ago, the adult daughter of one of my church members was up for a visit to the church. Church hadn't started yet. She was in the kitchen getting herself a glass of water, and I usually nip into the kitchen to get a glass of water before I preach too. And she's standing at the sink, and she does this. You recognize that pose, right? And she's sticking out a little bit. So I go over her, and I greet her, and I casually ask her, "So, when is the baby due?" "No, take those words back. Ah! You only do that once in your life, don't you?" She looks at me and she says, "I gave birth a week ago." It's the hard thing you only do once. Only once. Boy, oh boy. Generally speaking, though, you can tell when a woman's pregnant, right? Like, there's a certain way that she stands. There's a certain glow. There's different hormones that are going on in her. And there's a certain look. And you look at her and you think, pregnant. And you've probably seen those pictures, you know, on Facebook or wherever, where women photograph themselves at the various stages of their pregnancy, right? Kind of side view. And there's that progression week by week or whatever. And it's so cute. Initially, you can't even tell she's pregnant. But as time goes on, she's starting to show. That's the word we use, right? That's the term. She's starting to show. Well, what's really happening is that the person who is alive inside of her is starting to make their presence known. The baby is starting to show. Did you get that? Can I repeat that? At first, it's hard to tell that the woman is pregnant, but as time goes on, as that baby grows in health and in size, the person inside starts to make their presence known. It's crazy. Look at verse 19 again. Until Christ is formed in you. That word formed is a technical Greek medical term, morphothete, used by physicians to refer to in utero fetal development. Okay? It's a stunning, awkward, memorable image. William Barclay says, Christ is in them, as it were, in embryo. Proper English theologian trying to explain something that's a little awkward. As it were. R. Allen Cole says, this Greek word describes the formation of the embryo in the womb before birth. Theologian Richard Longnecker writes, the imagery is that of the Galatians themselves bearing Christ as a fetus in their wombs. I'm not making this up. It's right there in the text. But you know what? Most preachers, a few theologians will write about it in their commentaries. Most preachers will gloss right over it and just keep plowing on. I'm not preaching that part. No, no. Paul says, my prayer for you is that Christ will be in you like a baby is in a mother's womb. And that as your walk in Christ progresses, Christ in you will start to show. Is Christ within you starting to show? Maybe you're saved. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus and he's forgiven you and your sin. Maybe he's actually taken up residence inside of your heart, but there is so little of his beauty shining out from you. Where's your joy? Is Christ within you starting to show? You see, the further along in faith you go, the more that Christ should start to show. The evidence of your progression in faith is that not that you start adding all these other things, tithing and fasting and journaling and solitude and evangelism and worship and prayer and Bible study to your faith. That has nothing to do with it. The evidence of your progression in faith is that Christ within you starts to show. It's Christ's love that starts to show. It's his peace. It's his joy. It's his patience when you don't feel patience. It's his kindness, his gentleness, his self-control. It's Christ starting to become visible in your life like a baby at 40 weeks is clearly visible in that woman. That's the image. It's so exciting. It's like a woman telling the world she's going to have a baby. It's not the drudgery of rules. It's the joy of pregnancy. The further along in faith you go, the more that Christ should start to show. This image of Christ within us starting to show like a baby inside of a mother's womb. It's a stunning image. It's actually the foundation for the rest of the book of Galatians. Pretty much everything from here on out in this book is all about what a healthy pregnancy looks like. When Jesus takes residence in you and starts to take over, what that looks like. When Jesus starts to show in your life, you begin to trust him more fully. You start thinking his thoughts, his wishes reflect, your wishes reflect his wishes. Your aspirations become his aspirations. You're ready to go anywhere he sends you, even if it's Thailand, even if it's in some of the darkest corners of the planet, you're just going to follow Jesus. It shows up in your speaking tones with other people, in responses to Christ. Crises that happen in your life, in your normal everyday interactions with the gas jockey or the cashier, Jesus just starts showing up. He just starts to show. I'm at the hospital on Friday visiting Helen Siemens, Ed and Helen, and as I leave her room, a doctor and nurse exit another room just ahead of me. They're walking down the hallway ahead of me and they're talking about the patient that they've just visited. And the doctor says, wow, he is such a great person. And the nurse is nodding. She says, you know, everything that he's going through, and he's got such a beautiful spirit to him. And I think to myself, I bet he's a Christian. I bet it. I bet Jesus is starting to show in that man. Some of you just met Brad and Cassidy. Thank you for coming and being with us this morning. It's just one of the things that I found at conference when I met them for the first time. There was something about Brad and Cassidy. I was looking at them and going, you know, Jesus is starting to show. Jesus is starting to show in them, and I want to be a part of that. The Sri Lankan pastor of one of those churches that was attacked at Easter comes out this week with a video message. Dozens of Christians killed in his church. I mean, can you imagine a church this size and 40 of us dead? How horrific that must be. But there is just love in his heart and forgiveness in his words for the very people who hate him. Jesus is starting to show in the Sri Lankan church in some of the most awful circumstances. I have to share one more illustration with you. You guys know that we're foster parents and we're at that excruciating moment as a foster parent when you have to let go of your child. The child that you've taken into your home and raised as your own, loved them unconditionally, and now there's a permanency plan and it's not always what you want, and you pray so hard for the sovereignty of God, and I know some of you have been praying and I thank you for that. 2 weeks ago on Friday, we met Grandma and Grandpa for the first time. Grandma and Grandpa are going to be taking our foster boy and all of his siblings. They're going to have a full house, so we've only just started praying for them. But when I met with them, there was something that was different about Grandma and Grandpa. And I came away from that meeting just with a peace that I couldn't explain. On Friday, Elaine's taking our boy for his next visit with Grandma and Grandpa, and she gets a phone call, or I get the phone call, that they're in the hospital because Grandma's got a little bit of pneumonia, and so I'm on there talking with them, and I just offhandedly say, you know, we're sorry that Grandma's feeling terrible. He still wanted to visit his grandson, so we're still going to follow through with all of that with a few changes along the way, and I just said, well, you know, we'll be praying for you. And he says, can I ask you a question? I said, yeah. He says, are you a preacher? I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. Your grandpa says, there's 5 preachers in my family. Grandma and I are born again Christians. Are you born again? I'm like, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to be asking you this stuff. I say, yeah, I am. believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, Son of God, came to earth, took my penalty, died on a cross, rose again on the third day. The only way to salvation is faith in him. And I can hear him just breathe a sigh of relief. He says, all we've been praying for the last 2 years is that our grandchild would have grown up and been in a Christian home when he couldn't be in our home. And like some of you have been praying that same prayer, like, where's this little guy going, and how can we just release him? How can we trust you with this, Lord? And God says, I got this. And the thing that struck me was, Grandpa's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and both of us are starting to recognize that there's something about that other person that Jesus is starting to show. So I ask you this morning, is Jesus showing in you? Have you replaced him with a bunch of rules and commandments and expectations, none of which you actually follow, and all of which rob you of the joy of your pregnancy? Is Jesus showing in you? Like a woman who is 9 months pregnant, counting down the days, unmistakably expecting a child, is Jesus being formed in you? Is Jesus showing in you? So that's all I got for you today. Just this crazy image painted by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, until Christ is formed in you. Galatians 4, verse 19. You are pregnant with Jesus, and he should be starting to show. You're going to be chewing on that all week. I've been chewing on it all week, so I got to share it with you. The Holy Spirit is going to take you to some awkward, uncomfortable, memorable moments this week. He's going to be taking that image, and he's going to be bringing it home in your life in very real and practical ways. That's what he's going to be doing. Christ in you is your hope of glory. That's it. That's it. Christ in you, your hope of glory. Is he starting to show? Darren.
Would you rise for the benediction? Join with me. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray for tomorrow. We thank you, Lord, for a new day, a brand new chance to show people who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you've set us free, that every evening you wipe the slate, and each morning your mercies are new. And we have a new chance to show you. Lord, I apologize for the moments I chose not to show you. I know that tomorrow I get a fresh chance to do it all over again. Lord, I pray for this church family that through your Holy Spirit you would give them boldness. Like in the book of Acts, Lord, when they prayed and the church, it said it shook. The place where they were praying shook. Because you filled them with boldness, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, would you start to show in us, to our city, to our friends, to our neighbors, to the relatives in our family who don't believe in you or know who you are. And Lord Jesus, would you show through Brad and Cassidy to people around the world? Would you show through them, Lord, to these ladies, to these moms, to these orphans in Thailand? Holy Spirit, the things that you have planned, oh, if we could see. Oh, if we could see. Father, bless your church. Bless your bride. You've equipped her for all good works. Lord Jesus, dismiss us with your power. We pray for your power. Help us to be a light. Help us to show. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going for potluck now. So I just want you to know that as you can sit down for a second, I'm going to pray for our food and we're going to go out to potluck. There's going to be special seating like there was last month for fun. You're going to get a chance to sit with someone maybe that you don't normally sit with at potluck. So let me pray for the food and let's go have lunch together, my friends. Lord Jesus, thank you for this lunch. Thank you for my church family, Lord. Thank you for the chance to break bread with them and fellowship together. Lord, be with us as we eat. We love you. Amen. Go have lunch.